We greet you in Christ's name this morning, bring you Christian greetings, and we are glad to be here. There's always a bit of nervousness that goes along with the first night at least, but we are glad to be here and to worship at this place, to gather together and to seek the face of God and see what we can learn, to further our lives in the kingdom of God. I thought for an introduction, I would just tell about myself. Generally, you go through the congregation, you know, we stand back, and people ask a lot of the same questions, so maybe we'll take care of some of those questions right in the beginning. So my name is Darvin Halteman. I've been introduced. I'm 46 years old. I'm very happy to have my wife, Kay, along, and our youngest daughter, Lindsay, come along as well. We have five sons and three daughters. Thinking about calling them boys, but some of them aren't boys anymore. They're men. We do have three children married, and we have two grandsons. We live on a small farm. We have as more of a hobby farm. We have a few beef cattle and turkeys, and as a hobby as well. But boys have some fancy chickens and things like that. So it's more of a hobby farm. For an occupation, My dad, brother, and I are partners in a woodworking shop. We manufacture or glue up stair treads, stair risers for stair manufacturing. We're a sub shop. There's actually 12 of us there, but we just do part of the process for another company because we don't like stress. So we just do the one avenue of it. As far as the testimony tonight, I love the Lord Jesus Christ. I love His Word. And I like to preach. I will admit to you that I like to preach. It's a little hard to me to get into new congregations, so I'm not sure how those two mesh. But I do love the gospel of the Lord Jesus, and I'm happy to share it with different congregations and wherever I go. I love the Lord, and I don't know of anything in my life that would keep me from going to heaven if he would come at the moment. I believe my heart is right with God, and I'm looking for that day when He does come back. So I'm happy to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. As far as an assignment for you all, I want you to come as much as you can. And I know there's some funerals and so forth going on, and some of you need to be missing, and I understand that. That's understandable. And bring someone along. Bring your neighbors. Invite your neighbors and those you meet, those that maybe don't come here regularly. Invite them. Bring them. And pray, of course. Pray for these meetings that God's will be done. And that He would use me as a mouthpiece for His people, that and for myself, that we may grow. So I thought about the burden that I'm carrying for this week. My burden would be this: that by the preaching of the Word, souls would be strengthened and brought into a closer relationship with the Savior. Probably this week my mind is more on the strengthening than more than the evangelistic part. I'm not saying there won't be any evangelistic messages, but as I think about the church and think about the things that need to be strengthened, my mind is probably and heart is there more than it is on the evangelistic side. So the messages will probably lend itself to that. I do plan to have a few stories for the children a few nights. I'd like to have one tomorrow night, a story for the children. And I'm planning on having a message toward the youth on Saturday evening. So a lot of new faces here. I don't know you all, so it seems like we've done a good job of hiding from each other up till now. So I'm hoping by the end of the week I'll have names for a lot of you that I didn't have names for before. And I won't assign any blame on that, who's hiding from who, but I do get to see Brother Jerry, Brother Claire, and David and Joe at the minister's meeting, so I know some, and also know some other faces here as well. I think tonight, before we get into the message, we'll sing a verse by memory, a verse of "Oh, How I Love Jesus," and then we'll go into the message. Sing by memory. The love of the Savior is an amazing thing, and we as Christians, we revel in that love, and it's something that we need to remind ourselves of. When I think about God, I often think about Him as an authoritarian, but I need to think about the love of God more, and I think many of us are probably like that. Think about the love of God. Think about how He cares for us. For a message tonight, I thought we would start there. Turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm chapter 23, an old psalm, a psalm that has been written thousands of years ago and has been a very familiar psalm to many. Even those that are not Christians, those that are not sheep, love this psalm. And I trust tonight that we are sheep and that we love this psalm as we think about Jesus being our shepherd. The title of the message would be Our Caring Shepherd. Our Caring Shepherd. Isaiah chapter 40 verse 1 says, comfort ye my people, saith your God. And I believe this psalm is a psalm of comfort. As I think about Psalm 23, I don't know that I've ever seen, as I've gone to viewings and funerals and such, and they always have the little obituary or the little write-up, and I don't know that I've ever seen one that was absent of Psalm 23. I could be wrong on that. But the ones that I've seen, so we use this psalm in times of distress, times of care, times of that we're feeling down and out. So we just like to see what we can learn from Psalm 23. I appreciate our brothers and devotions and thinking about the foundation. And one of the foundations of the Christian life is to understand that God loves us and He cares for us. It is a foundational thought. It is a foundational principle, because as we understand that love of the Savior and the care of the Savior for us, then we in turn will want to serve Him. In turn, we will open up our hearts to Him and hear what He is saying and obey His precepts. Let's just read Psalm 23 to begin. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I need reminded of our shepherd's tender care for us as His sheep. We could not be sheep if it were not for the good shepherd. We are only sheep because we have this good shepherd. In Psalm 100, verse 3, it says, Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Those that have come to Jesus Christ and answered that call to salvation, receive the blood for forgiveness of sins. Jesus shed blood. We are sheep. We are the sheep of His pasture. We are under His care. We are under His leadership, under His watchful eye. And He cares about us and He loves us. I am impressed, again, with the story of the lost sheep that is given in Matthew 18. We'll not turn there. But the lost sheep, where the shepherd went out and was looking for that one sheep, where he left the 99 momentarily so that he could go out and rescue that sheep. And that's an interesting thought as I think about a lost sheep. It was not yet called a goat. It was not yet beyond help. Not yet beyond the rescue of the Savior. But it was a lost sheep. And I don't know tonight. I don't know where each person here places themselves on the sheep list. Or where God places you on the sheep list. But I'll say this. Tonight, that the shepherd cares deeply about all sheep. Tonight, you may feel weak. You may feel like you're that lost sheep. He cares deeply about you. He loves you deeply. You may feel that you're weak and undeserving. He cares deeply. He goes to greatest lengths to show that care to us. He is the Savior. He is the tender shepherd. He is the caring shepherd, the loving shepherd. We just like to go through this psalm and talk about the different aspects of it. The first area I'd like to consider is Almighty God is our caregiver. Thinking about Almighty God, it says here that the Lord is my shepherd. There's a personal understanding that this Lord is my Savior. And we'd like to talk about this Almighty God. This Almighty God that extends care and love to us. The first point we'd like to consider is to say God is capable is a gross understatement. He is infinitely beyond capable. You see, when we go about life, whether you hire an employee, whether you get someone to help you do a job, whether you get a company to come in and do something that you either cannot do yourself or you don't have time to do and you hire them, you want somebody that's capable. Or at least has, if it's an employee especially, someone that has the, you'll look at him and say, well, yes, he's not going to learn how to do it in a day or two, or maybe not even 2 weeks or 3 weeks. But as time goes on, we see that he's a promising individual and they can learn. We want somebody that's capable. We hire someone in to do something. We want to know that they can do it rightly, that when they're finished and they go away and we write them the check, that it was done properly. But we want capable people to do things for us in physical life. As we think about being sheep, as we think about being Christians, as we think about being under the care of this shepherd, to say God is capable is a gross understatement. He's infinitely beyond capable. You see, God is king. Heaven is his throne, and the earth is his footstool. You've seen pictures already of the earth from the moon, or at least from outer space orbit. You know, I'm getting into the area, I'm not sure how to talk about these terms. But you see that little ball of earth, and it's small and insignificant. You can't even tell where the countries are, but it's just a blue ball. Kind of blue, and you'll see different markings on it, but it's so small. It's a little bit the picture I get when I think of God as king and he's in heaven. Heaven is his throne, and the earth is his footstool, and he's placing his feet on that little ball of earth because he's king. That's how big God is. It must be kind of the picture he has of earth. And we as his sheep are here on earth, but it's just showing how capable he is, how big he is. Infinitely beyond capable. Scripture tells us that God gathered up the nothingness of space and made land, sea, and sky, and spoke into existence every creature of the whole universe. And then he scraped some dust together and he breathed into it and he made you and I. It's God. He's infinitely beyond capable. He's making things out of nothing. We enjoy making things, but we always start with a product. If we want to make something out of wood, we go buy some lumber. If you have a sawmill, you cut down the tree and you'll still saw the logs, but we start with material. God started with nothing. He gathered up the nothingness of space and made all of these things. And he scraped up the dust and made you and I. Not only did he make us, but he made us in his likeness. And so there's something about you and I tonight that looks something like God. That is something like God. Not God. And he made that out of dust. Scripture tells us that when God made the heavens, it says he stretched out the heaven as a curtain. Now we have curtains in our homes. Some of us have bigger windows, bay windows, double hung windows, whatever they are. Might be pretty big. We wake up in the morning, and we take that curtain, we grab it, and we stretch it across. We open it. We want to see outside. I want you to think about the vast expanse of heavens. In this country, the southern country, is a little more open than ours. We have hills, so the sky that we see isn't probably quite as big as the sky that you see. But you can see for miles. If you go out west, the big sky country, they call it, in Montana. I remember traveling there as a boy, and some of those roads were straight and long, and we would pick out a mile or something far in the distance that we could see, and we would check the odometer of the vehicle we were in, and we would drive, and we would drive, and we would drive. If I remember right, the one was 11 mile, and I'm sure there's much further landmarks that you can see in that. But just trying to explain to us the vast expanse, how far we can see. But if we look up into heaven, I don't know how far we can see there. Those clouds and some of those blue sky days where you can see miles and miles and miles. Maybe hundreds of miles, I don't know. But God, as He stretched out those heavens, He stretched them out like a curtain. He grabbed them with His almighty hand and He just pulled them. And He made those heavens. Trying to explain for us to get a picture of this God that is infinitely beyond capable of caring for us. This Lord that is our shepherd that stretched out the heaven as a curtain. Scripture tells us that God knows how many hairs we each have on our heads. He's concerned about the details. And so as we think about those big pictures of the heavens and gathering the nothingness of space, and that heaven is His throne and the earth is His footstool, but yet He's so detailed in knowing the hairs of our head. Scripture tells us that God knows when we sit down, and He knows that when we stand up again. He's that interested in our life. The Bible tells us that God understands our thoughts afar off. Afar off. It just hit me recently. I don't know that I've thought about this verse in this way before, but you probably have. We, in our understanding, we see different things in different verses. But He understands our thoughts afar off, long before we even had them. He understood my thoughts and what I was going to say tonight, what you were going to think today, what you never said. He knew them long before we ever thought them. That's our God. That's this Lord that is my shepherd. That's how capable. He's infinitely beyond capable. Point number two, to say God is eligible falls eternity short of the full truth. He is infinitely beyond eligible. Eligible to care for me. Eligible to be my shepherd. He's infinitely beyond eligible. You see, God was right by and saw us when we were curiously wrought in secret. While we were yet substance and unformed, God knew you and God knew me. This is our God. Psalm 139:5 says that God is behind us, He's in front of us, and His hand is laid upon us. The Lord is my shepherd. Proverbs 21:1 says, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, and as the rivers of water, He turneth it whithersoever He will. A beautiful picture of a king that has a lot of authority on earth, but God has that king's heart in His hand. God is infinitely beyond eligible. Isaiah tells us that God is holy. And then He is holy, and again holy. Three times holy. You know, as earthbound humans, we strive to follow the good book, the Bible. We strive to obey, and we strive to be holy. But we'll never be three times holy until we reach the other side. But God is that now. God is that today. He's infinitely beyond eligible to be my Lord, this shepherd that cares for me. Scripture tells us that God inhabits eternity. He lives in eternity. Isn't that a brain teaser? God lives in eternity. What does that mean? You see, men must die to enter eternity. When we die, when we pass from this earth, or the Lord returns, when we exit earth life, We will go on into eternity, we say. Either saved or unsaved, either lost or saved, heaven or hell. But men must die to enter eternity. But God decided one day that that's where he would live, and he walked on in to eternity. I can't wrap my mind around it. But this is this God. This is Almighty God. This is this Lord that is my shepherd. God takes notice and cares about each little sparrow that dies, that falls to the ground. Another detail. Scripture tells us that God's voice is so powerful that at the sound of it, the deer in the forest give birth to their fawns, to their little ones, at the voice of God. Point number three, to say God is faithful is only a fraction of reality. We want a faithful shepherd, right? Those of you that have animals, we like to take care. We like to be faithful in tending that flock, tending that herd. But to say that God is faithful is only a fraction of the reality. Titus 1:2 says, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. God cannot lie. It's impossible for God to lie. He is truth. He speaks the truth. And he holds us in truth. He is always watchful, Scripture says. God never slumbers or sleeps. He never tires. He never dozes. His eyes are always on us because he never sleeps. He never slumbers. Scripture tells us that he will keep us as the apple of his eye, as the most tender part of his eye. He will keep us. And the Scripture also says that those that touches Israel, I believe, or Jacob, is the same as that they touch the eye of God. God is bothered when individuals treat his people badly. He will keep us as the apple of his eye. He will protect us. Scripture tells us his promises are sure. His word is eternal. A few verses I'd like to read in Isaiah chapter 46, thinking about the faithfulness of God. Isaiah chapter 46, verses 4 and 5. This is the word of God, one of his promises to us. And even to your old age, I am he. And even to the hoar hairs will I carry you. I have made, and I will bear. Even I will carry, and will deliver you. To whom will you liken me, and make me equal, and compare me, that we may be alike? Jumping down to verses 9 and 10. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. This God, that is infinitely beyond eligible. This God that is far beyond faithful, that cannot lie, and that is eternal, and his promises are sure. This is the Lord that is our shepherd. He is my shepherd. Is he your shepherd tonight? The second area of the message we'd like to look at, our divine caregiver will give us everything we need. It says further that I shall not want. I shall not want. Our divine caregiver, God, this shepherd, this loving, caring shepherd will give us everything we need. Point number one, our shepherd is intent on giving us rest and peace. He is intent. Our shepherd is intent on giving us rest and peace. The picture here is of a picture of a literal shepherd that is leading his sheep, the four-legged creatures, out into a pasture. It says, he maketh me to lie down. He leads me beside the still waters. I shall not want, he begins that with in verse 1. The shepherd is intent on giving us His people rest in peace. This is what God wants for us. God gives us rest and peace through deliverance, and He gives us rest and peace through grace. There's two different ways that God, I believe we can talk about that God gives us rest and peace. He delivers us. There are times when He delivers us from things, and He makes a way of escape. He makes it so that we do not have to go through it, but He delivers us. And there are other times He gives us rest and peace going through it because of grace. And I say it this way, I've said it this way already, if God has not called us to it, we will be delivered from it. But if God has called us to it, He will give us grace to go through it. Either way, there's rest. Either way, there's rest. God is intent. Our shepherd is intent on giving us rest and peace. God abundantly supplies refreshment for our souls. Point number two. He abundantly supplies refreshment. He inspires by His promises. Again, I like to think about this thought of being that our shepherd is intent on giving us rest. And one of the things I like to talk about just a little is guilt for wrongdoing. Guilt for wrongdoing is designed of God to bring about rest. Because as guilt comes into our life, the guilt is to make us do something about it, get our life right again with God, make our wrongs right, confess our sin, so that we can again have rest. And this is one of the ways that our shepherd has designed that we would find rest, is guilt for wrongdoing, because God wishes for our restoration. He wishes to bring us into a restful and peaceful situation again. And I don't know where you are tonight in your Christian walk. I don't know where you are in the sheep's walk, whether you're weak, whether you're lost, whether you're strong. But as that guilt comes, if we're wrongdoing, we must come back to the shepherd, because the shepherd desires to bring us into restoration, desires to inspire us again. Inspiration through His promises, deliverance in temptations, divine direction in troubled times. Have you ever gone through those times in life that were so dark and so troubled and so difficult that you didn't know which way to turn? You didn't know what to do. But as you prayed and were intent on finding God's will, and just the light would peep through, and you were just able to make that little step and that little step. And you made your way through God's help. And as time went on, maybe years down the road, 5 years later, a few years later, you looked over your shoulder at that experience and you shook your head and you bowed your head and you just thanked God for the divine direction in that troubled time. Because as you looked, as you faced it, you didn't know where it was going to come out. You didn't know how you were going to go. You didn't know how you were going to go through. And even in years later, looking back, you just bow your head and you say it was divine direction in troubled times. We have the comfort of His Holy Spirit and His Word assuring us of salvation. The comfort. When Jesus left this earth, He said, I will send you the Comforter. He said, I must go away, but I will send you the Comforter, which will guide you into all truth. This is the refreshment that He sends to us. The Holy Spirit living in our life, and His Word assuring us of salvation. The assurance of salvation that we can have. We can know we are, as we live in Christ, that we are right with God. As I think about comfort, the comfort of the Holy Spirit, a thought came into my mind just recently that, you know, as we live life, sometimes there are those, and we, in our own experience, we probably have done the same, where we resist that guilt, that the guilt for wrongdoing, we resist that. But you know, I think there can be those that are sensitive in the Christian life, very sincere, that also resist the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Resist the comfort. I guess the sensitive conscience runs in my family some. As a young child, I dealt with that quite a bit, and so did some of my siblings. But as I thought about this, It was a real comfort to me, a real promise to think about it, that is just as wrong to resist the comfort of God as it is to resist the guilt for wrongdoing. We must not. If you're a tender conscience here tonight, and I don't know, it's probably different levels of all of that, but there's nothing that you can lay your finger on that you are doing wrong. There's no sin in your life. But yet you just can't find that peace and the comfort, that assurance of salvation. Allow the Holy Spirit to comfort you through His promises, through the promises of God. It is just as wrong to resist that comfort as it is to resist the guilt for doing wrong. Allow the Holy Spirit to comfort your life. This is what God wants for His sheep. This is the refreshment that He sends. Taking from verse 3, He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Point number 3, the steady hand of the Good Shepherd will always guide us through our dark valleys. A steady hand. He will hold on to us when we are unable to hold on to anything. I believe I look through the directory. I think some of you here are related maybe to William Bear, maybe a granddaughter or something here. I'm not sure who you are. And also as I reflect on the history of this congregation, I know there's sorrow and there's been difficulties. There's been deaths and there's been tragedy. You know, I haven't faced those kind of things. I've faced, I believe, some hard, difficult things in my life, but nothing like that. The closest death in my family would have been my grandparents and cousins and so on. So I don't know what that's like. But I do know what difficult times are. I know what it is to cry. I know what it is to weep and to be sorrowing. But the steady hand of the Good Shepherd will always guide us through the dark valleys. He will hold on to us when we are unable to hold on to anything. And you probably know some of you know what I'm talking about. There's been some difficult times in my life that this has been true in my experience. When I didn't feel like I could hold on to anything, but I just knew that God was holding on to me. We often use Jude 24. There's only one chapter in Jude, that their benediction, but it's a beautiful promise. It's a beautiful promise to the sheep. It's a beautiful promise emphasizing this truth, that the Good Shepherd will always guide us through our dark valleys. Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. This is the Good Shepherd. And we can talk about sorrow. We can also talk about temptation. Temptation that is so strong that we feel like we can't hold on to the Savior. And this verse would apply there as well, that we know we don't want to sin, and we know we're not going to choose sin. But temptation and wrong are so strong, and the world calls. But as we are true to the Shepherd, He will hold on to us when we are unable to hold on to anything. You've heard the story and probably read the poem many times about the man that looked back over his life. And in his dream or in the scene, he saw two pairs of footsteps going across the sand. And then there were times when there was only one set of footprints. And then there would be two again. And he said to God, he said, I thought you said that you would always be with me. But he said, I see one set of footprints where I was walking alone. And God said, no. He said, that's when I was carrying you. Point number 4. Our Shepherd Savior displays a special affection for us. You know, when back there in Job, in that story of Job, Satan said to God, he said, Job, you put a hedge about him. I can't get to him. And he's just there. He's protected. You have him protected. Now, I believe God has that protection about us because of this special affection. He keeps us in that sheepfold. He keeps out the enemy. He keeps us safe in there. He keeps us from destruction. This is the part of His special affection that He has for us. He has a sheepfold for us. As I understand, in the Bible times, the sheepfolds were made out of brambles and thorns that the shepherds would roll up, and they would make a corral out of these prickly, horrible, long thorns so that the wild animals could not get in at night. God has put us into a sheepfold as we are His sheep. as I think about it, there's a prayer that Jesus prayed for us in John 17. Jesus said this, I am so touched when I think about that Jesus prayed for us, His sheep, His people. John 17:9, I pray for them. Talking about you and I tonight. I pray not for the world, but for them which Thou hast given me, for they are Thine. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Jesus was praying for His disciples. They were there. And Jesus prayed for them. I believe that's in the first part of the prayer. He's praying for His disciples. I pray for them. Speaking of the disciples. For them which Thou hast given me, for they are Thine. And then He says, but I don't only pray for these disciples, the 12 disciples that are with me, but I pray for them also which shall believe on me through their word. We have the Gospel of Matthew, the Gospel of Mark, the Gospel of Luke, and the Gospel of John. Because of these scriptures, we believe on God. Jesus prayed for me. Jesus prayed for you. Isn't it beautiful that the shepherd has prayed for us? Jesus prayed for us. It is a special affection that Jesus has for us. And in that burden that was on His heart, and that special affection that His heart was full of, it spilled out into a prayer, a beautiful prayer for you and I, that we would be faithful, that we'd be saved from the world. Jesus did not pray for the world. Did you catch that in the verse? He prayed for His sheep. He didn't pray for those that are outside of the fold. And that's an amazing truth. It says in verse 20, neither pray I for these alone. No, I'm back to verse 9. I pray for them. I pray not for the world. The prayer that Jesus prayed for you and I, for His sheep, for the Christians, those that follow Him, is a one of a kind. And it's a special affection. He didn't pray for the world. He prayed for you and I. Number 5, our shepherd will only give us what becomes good and merciful. Romans 8:28, we know well, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. Take them in verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Psalm 103:8, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. For Thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon Thee. Our shepherd will only give us what becomes good and merciful. As we go through life, not everything seems good and merciful. But the point is, the shepherd will give us what becomes, only what becomes good and merciful. It will become good and merciful sometime. Tonight, I hope the Lord is your shepherd. This almighty God, this infinitely beyond capable, infinitely beyond eligible, where saying that God is faithful is only a fraction of the reality. He needs to be your shepherd. He needs to be your shepherd. To be a sheep of His fold, the sheep of His pasture, is the only place in life that there is real satisfaction. It's the only place in life where we will find meaning in life. It's the only place in life where we will find true safety. You know, we can be in the goat pasture, but it's a whole different master. It don't have the safety. It doesn't have the tender shepherd. Satan is a cruel master. So I just plead with you tonight that the Lord be your shepherd. We're not going to give an invitation tonight. I don't plan to every evening. Occasionally I plan to. But I just want to, I want us to think tonight, if we have, the Lord is our shepherd. And if we do, let's revel in that love. Let's just let our hearts open and warm to Him. Let Him comfort us. Let Him lead us. And just be inspired by His greatness and by His super capability. Thank you for coming tonight. Come praying, bring someone along, and I believe the Lord will have something for us as we come evening after evening. We want to grow in God, we want to be the sheep of His pasture, and we want to be holy. Let's stand for closing benediction.